All right, Rabosai, good morning. Good morning, good morning. We have a credible daf ahead of us today. We'll begin by thanking our sponsors, to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Av, Avraham and Shindy Kelbin, for dedicating all of the Shiurim and Drashos this month with the hope and prayer that the month of Av will be filled with Simcha in the eternal Beis HaMikdash. To thank our week of learning sponsors, the Ringo, Ram, and Fine families, for dedicating all of the learning this week in the Zechus of Rafu Shalema, for Rachel Fine, Rachel Batya, Bas Leah, and our Dafyomi sponsors, already beginning yesterday and for the next couple of weeks, Jeff and Sherry Venick, and Stephen and Holly Venick, in memory of their beloved father, Herman Venick, Chanoi Yisrael Ben Ruvain. It's the truth of us, those of you who have been longtime members of this Kehillah, even not such long time, know that Herman was such an incredible pillar of this shul, did so much for our community, is responsible for so much of what we see around us today. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah and his family a nechama. And I will say with that, let us begin. So a beautiful daf ahead of us today. We're picking up today, like I said, today's daf is Kuf Nun Vav 156. And we are picking up in Meretz Hashem on Kuf Nun Hey Amud Beis 155b. We're picking up 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom, right where we left off last night. So remember again, the Mishnah said, Ma'alaknun Tanagolim. So we got very caught up yesterday in the discussion regarding force feeding. And we discussed again different types of force feeding that could exist between animals with a kli, beyond the point that they could spit it back up, so on and so forth. So the Mishnah said that you could also go ahead and force feed chickens. Amra Abaye, Amrisa Kamei Demar, Mas Nisin Money. So Abaye said, I said this in front of Mar. Who does the Mishnah reflect? Va'amra Li, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. Told me the Mishnah reflects Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. What Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda say? This Anya. Now here, interestingly enough, the Mishnah is actually not talking about anything to do with feeding chickens. Well, some of the feeding chickens, but it's focusing more on the statement where the Mishnah said, I'm sorry, let me just find it here. The Mishnah said, "V'nosin mayim lemorsan avalo govlin." You could go ahead and mix together. You could put in the water and the bran, but you cannot knead it together. So that's really what the Gemara is picking up on over here. So the Abaye said to Mar, whose opinion is reflected in the Mishnah, and Mar said, "Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, disanyo." If you have two people, one goes in and one pours flour and one pours water. Ha'acharon chayiv divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi holds the last one, the person who poured the water. And I will say, by the way, the order is not really so significant over here. The idea is whoever is the last person to pour in the last ingredient, that person is chayiv for kneading, for lush. Rabbi Yossi Yehuda Omer, Eino Chayiv Achi Yigbol. Rabbi Yossi Yehuda says, no, you're not Chayiv until when? Unless you go ahead and actually knead the items together. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Rebbe holds that one would violate the Malacha of Lush just by going ahead and mixing things together, water and flour, even without actually kneading it. Rabbi Yossi says, you cannot violate the Malacha of Lush unless you actively knead the ingredients together. So therefore, the Gemara is suggesting over here that Allah Chalamayta, the opinion that's said in the Mishnah, that you could put water and bran together, as long as you don't knead them together. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. To which the Gemara says, maybe not Dilma Ad Kavokam Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda Hassam Ela Kemach Debar Gibelhu. Maybe Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda only said that in the case of flour and water, because flour and water is a kneadable mixture. However, Avamor Sundalav Bar Gibelhu, I feel Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda Moda. But I will say, but when it comes to bran, so apparently bran is not something that's normally kneadable. So he called this not kneadable. Maybe Rabbi Yossi would also agree that halacha lemaisa, just the act of mixing them together or pouring them together, is enough to make you chayav for the malacha of losh. To which the Gemara says, "Lo sachnaytcha desanyo behedja einosnin mayin lemorsan divrei Rabbi." Rabbi Yossi Yehuda Omer, Nosnin Mayin Lamorsan. Now, we have an explicit braisa. And in this explicit braisa, it says, Rabbi holds that you cannot go ahead and mix water and bran together, even if you're not going to knead them. But Rabbi Yossi Yehuda says, as long as you are not kneading them, ultimately, again, it is going to be mutter. So we'll say, and that is how we paskin halacha lemaisa when it comes to the malacha of lush. the act of pouring things together does not violate the malacha of kneading. You are only in violation of that malacha when you take two ingredients, mix them together, and then actively knead them together. So they will say, now the novelty, of course, is even though when, let's say, you pour water and bran together, for that matter, water and flour, some amount of mixing may occur just de facto. But halacha lemaisa, the malacha of lush, is only violated when you actively knead two items together. So Tan Rabbanan, in Govlin Asakali, you can't go ahead, or we'll say, you can't go ahead and mix or knead together kali. What's kali? Rashi says, kemach shel tevua shenesiyap. So we'll say, so kali is grain or flour that is made from dried out grain or parched grain. So the Gemara says, you can't go ahead and knead kali. V'yesh omrim govlin. And some say you can knead it. So man yesh omrim. Who is this yesh omrim? So says the Gemara, amrev chista tap of kuflun vav. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, who? He. It's Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda. Vahani mili dimishani. So we'll say, when does Rabbi Huda say that halacha lamaisa, you can go ahead and knead kali, that you can go ahead and take parched flour, or flour from parched grain, mix it together with water. That's only true if you go ahead and you employ a shinui. Now, the truth is, Rashi says over here, Rashi, I'm just go back to the Rashi, last Rashi on Kuflun Hey Amud Beis for just a moment. So Rashi, last Rashi on the Daf, Kali, Kemach Shal Tavosh Nesiyabsha. So this is flour. Flour that comes from wheat, which was dried out. Kishen Kloyos Batanar, Va'osa Kemach Li'ola Masuk. Now, this type of flour always has a sweetness associated with it. They would make shesisa out of this. What is shesisa? So he said, Gemara says, so shesisa, we learned about shesisa earlier in the Masechta, also in Brachas. So shesisa was this food, or was this drink, this mixture, almost like a porridge, that was made from flour, from parched grain, water, salt, we'll see sometimes vinegar was mixed in as well. See, interestingly enough, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda holds that halacha lemaisa, you could go out and mix all of this stuff together, as long as you utilize a shinui. So the Gemara says, Heichi Mishani, what's a shinui? Top of Kufnun Varabo, say second line, then Arab Chista, Al Yad Yad. Al Yad Al Yad. If you only make a little bit of it at a time. Apparently, again, they used to make shesisa in a larger amount. Salach lameis, as long as you go ahead and you make smaller amounts, that's enough. V'shavin shebocha shin es hashasis b'shabis, v'shosim zesum hamitzri. And they agree that halacha lamaisa, you can go ahead and mix together the shasis, and you can also drink Egyptian beer. I was saying now, the chap with Egyptian beer, we saw this also earlier in the Masechta, was Egyptian beer was normally drunk for medicinal purposes. But because sometimes healthy people drink it as well, therefore it is permitted. I, Vaha Amrit in Govlin, but 1 second. You just said they agree that you can mix together shasis, but which is shasisa. But we just said before that halacha lemaisa, you can't, machlokas, if you can knead shasisa or not. Lokasha, haba ava, habaraka. So we'll say, when is there a machlokas about shasisa? That's when it's a thicker mixture. But when it is a loose mixture, what do we call raka, a loose mixture, everyone agrees that halacha lamaisa, that is going to be permitted. Rabbi said, this is actually a very important halacha. That the halacha of lush, the malacha of kneading, is what's called a balila ava. It is only if you are mixing together something thick. But if that which you are mixing together is loose or is liquidy, that is not the malacha of lush. That is not the malacha of kneading. So therefore, again, the case where everyone agrees that halacha lamais, you could do it, would be with a looser, liquidy mixture. Says the Bahani Mili, to the Mishani, Rabbi said, this is also assuming that you are employing a shinui. Heichi Mishani. So how do you make a shinui when making your shesisa? Amar Rav Yosef, b'chol nosin as hachometz, v'achar kach nosin as hashasis. So Rav Yosef says, normally during the week, you would first put in the vinegar, and then the other ingredients. V'shabis nosin as hashasis, v'achar kach nosin as hachometz. So on Shabbos, you should put the other ingredients first, vinegar last. Levi, Braid Ravuna Barchia, Ashkeche Legavla de Ben Ashes. Listen to this. Levi, the son of Ravuna, found one of the workers in his father's house, Legavla de Ben Ashia, to call Gavil Vesafri Leture. He found him on Shabbos going ahead and kneading a mixture to go ahead and give to the oxen. So Levi saw this. He was very unhappy about this. Batashbe, he kicked the guy. Right? He kicked the guy as a sign of his displeasure because he thought the guy was being Mechal Shabbos by putting together, by kneading together a mixture. Asa Avua Ashkeche, Levi's father came along. He found out what he did. Amrale Hachi Amar Avua De'imech Mishmei De'Rav. This is what your mother's father said in the name of Rav, Umanu. And who is his mother's father? Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba. Govlin V'lo Misapin. Ultimately, again, you could go ahead and knead together the mixture. V'lo Misapin, but you can't force feed. Udelo Lokit B'lishnei Malaktinale. But if the ox is so young that it does not have the ability to eat on its own, then what? Then ultimately you could force feed it. V'hani mili hudi mishani. But obviously when making the mixture, you have to employ a shinui. Hechi mishani. How do you make? How do you do the shinui? Amrav yemar bar shama mishay da'baye shasi va'arev. Ultimately, what do you do? Instead of, I guess normally when you would mix something in a circular motion. So on Shabbos, the way you go ahead and employ a shinui is to mix it back and forth. Shasi varev. I v'halo ma'arev shapir. But if you do that, it doesn't mix well. Amrav Yehuda, minaro likli. You shake it up in the utensil, or you pour it from utensil to utensil in order to go ahead and mix it better. So we'll say, this is actually very important. We've seen these halachas before, but here the Gemara is getting to the malacha of lush. So first of all, the malacha of lush, the malacha of kneading, salacha lemaisa only applies to a belila ava, to what we call a to what we call a thick mixture. But going and taking various items and mixing them together to produce a liquidy mixture is not the malacha of lush, is not kneading. Again, certain times where kneading could be permitted would be halacha if one employs a shinui. So a shinui could either be a shinui in the way that you go ahead and normally mix the item, or a shinui could be in the way that you go ahead and actually, so it could be a shinui in the right, a shinui that you mix in and out. If you normally mix it with a circular motion, so mixing it again, shesi bari back and forth, or shinui could also be in the way that you normally add in the various ingredients. So if during the week you normally add the ingredients in a particular order, A, B, and C, so on Shabbos, the shinui could be C, B, and A, so on and so forth. So the Gemara says as follows. But we'll say first wide line, Kuf Nun Vav Amad Aleph. Ksiv Apin Kase Diziri. So we'll say now we're going to get into a fascinating sugya over here about notes that they found written on the ledgers of great people. So they found written on the ledger, in the ledger of Ziri, Amris Kadam Rebbe, I said in front of Rebbe, Umana, which Rebbe is this? Rebbe Chia, Mahu Legabo. Or is it permitted to go ahead and need food, ultimately again, for an animal? Amr Asr, Mahu Lefarik. What's Talocha? Levrashi says, Lefarik, Lases Mitoch Kli, Shalifne Behemazu, Velases Lefne Behaber. This was, listen to this. So question number one was, can you need food for animals on Shabbos? And the answer to that was, Asr. Question number two, can you go ahead and move food from in front of one animal and put it in front of a different animal? Suppose, so just to be clear, these would be issues. So the kneading issue is an issue of lush. The movement of the food issue, as we saw yesterday, is what? Is an issue of tircha yisera, unnecessary exertion. Amar Mutter, he said, no, that's permitted to move food from in front of one animal, put it into a different animal. That is going to be Mutter. Amar Amnashia, chad kame chad, tre kame tre shapir. You could put one portion of food in front of one animal, two portions of food in front of two animals. However, tlasa kame tre aser. Rabbo said, to go ahead and put three portions of food in front of two animals is going to be aser on Shabbos. Look at Rashi, it's almost right across. Avat tlasa kame tre. Hoil ubechol lo yohev lehu ki hai havi tircha to lo tzarech. Supposed to listen to this. Normally during the week, you would not put three portions of food in front of two animals. So therefore, to do that on Shabbos represents tircha yisera, unnecessary exertion, and therefore will be aser. Rav Yosef amar kav vafilu kavayim. Rav Yosef says, no, you could even put a kav, even two kavim of food. Ula amar kur vafilu karayim. Ula said, one quart, even two quart. And we'll say, again, these are hyperbolic statements because the animal's never going to eat that much. But Rav Yosef and Ula are both saying is that halach lamaisa, you could put as much food as you want in front of an animal. there is no limit to the amount of food that you could put in front of an animal on Shabbos. Good. Kasava Pinkasi, the ladies will say, they found written in front of the Pinkas, in front of the ledger of Levi, Amrit Kadam Rebbe. One time I was saying in front of Rebbe, and which Rebbe are we talking about? Umanu Rabbeinu HaKadosh. This was Rabbi Huda Anasi. Al Dahavu Gavlin Shesisa Bevavel. They both say they were making Shesisa in Bavel on Shabbos. Vavetzavich Rebbe, and ultimately Rebbe was yelling at them to stop doing it. Who was which Rebbe? Umanu Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Huda Anasi. Al Dahavu Gavlin Shesisa. Veles Dishmialei. And no one was listening to Rebbe. Right, veles chela biyade lemeser, and he had no ability to really go ahead and answer this practice. Why? Mid Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda. Ultimately, again, I must say, remember again, because Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda says that you can knead even a thick mixture as long as what? As long as you do it with a shina. So, isn't this incredible? So, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was very much against the practice of making shesisa on Shabbos. Because it is a thick mixture, he thought that it was the malacha of lush, but he yelled about it, he screamed out, nobody listened to him, and he really didn't have the ability to answer it because there was an opinion who said it was mutter. Who said it was mutter? None other than Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda, who holds that it's mutter as long as you go ahead and utilize a shinui. Okay? Ksiva pinkasi le Rishon ben Levi. They found the written on the ledger of Rishon ben Levi. Hi man, supposed to listen to this Gemara. What's incredible about this is these were notes. It sounds like these were notes that were discovered after these great rabbanim died. So they kept like a ledger, a diary. So they found it in the diary. Now we're going to transition a little bit. They found written on the ledger of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Haiman de Bechad Bishaba, if somebody is born on a Sunday, Yehi Gever. Below Chadbe, he will be an individual. The Rashi says over here, below Yehi Gever, below Chadbe, Yehi Adam Shalim b'mida Achas, Yehi below Achas bo b'mida Acher. So we'll say he'll be an individual who possesses a singular character trait, a singular personality. The Gemara says below Chadbe. So my below Chadbe, Ilema below Chad Lativo. If you're going to say that he's going to be totally bad and not good. Ravashi, I was born on a Sunday. So we'll say, see, it can't mean that he'll be totally bad. Ella, love, chad, labisho. So, v'ha'am Ravashi, ana. So maybe you'll say, it means he'll be totally good and not bad at all. That can't be. V'ha'am Ravashi, ana, v'dimi, bar, kakusto. Havyun, bechad, b'shaba. Ravashi said, me and Dimi, bar, kakusto. We're both born on Sunday. Ana Melech, I became a Rosh Yeshiva. V'hu havarish kanavin. He was the head of the ganavim. Ella, so what does Yinavo say if you're born on Sunday? You're going to possess a singular midah. Ella ikulo lativo, ikulo labisho. Rather it means if you're born on a Sunday, either you're going to be a tzaddik gamer or a rasha gamer. My time of why is that? De'ivru bei or v'choshech. The Rebbe said, this is incredible. What you're going to see what the theme over here is. What Rebbe Shimon Levi was trying to say was, depending on what week, day of the week you're born, your personality will very much resemble what happened in creation on that day. So in other words, the Gemara is saying is, if you're born on Sunday, you're going to be a very black or white person. Because what happened on Sunday, what happened on the first day of creation? Ar and Choshech. So you're going to be a very black and white person. You're gonna be strong in something. See, you're gonna be strong in a good way, or you're gonna be strong in a negative way. But apparently, again, Sunday people are very black and white. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Hi man, de betray b'shava." What happens if someone is born on a Monday? Ye geva ragzon. He will be someone who angers easily. Angers easily. And I will say a very angry person. Now the truth is really what it means over here is lamaisa, like, yeah, well, very angry person. So the Gemara says, my time of why is that? Mishum defligu be maya. Because they will say, what happened? What happened on day two? What happened on Monday? Ultimately, again, the waters and the land were separated. Right? So anger, I will say, is a midah that separates people. So Monday people are ragzanim, are angry. Haiman debitlasa b'shava. If someone is born ultimately on a Tuesday, ye gever asir vizanoi. He will be rich and very immoral. My taima, mishum de ivru be'asavim. because Tuesday is the day that the grass was created. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Divru be'azoy, asavim, tichsiv tachshia aretz, v'hu davar, shepara v'rava ma'od, o memar lagada v'litzmoach. So let's listen to this. So first of all, grass grows quickly. So that seems to be symbolic of the wealth. Because it grows quickly, so therefore a person will be wealthy. The Rashi then goes on and he says, what about the immorality? He says, "The loksiv leminehu ba'asavim b'tzivuyam va'ot shiyotzim b'ervuvya v'yonkim zemizeh." So we'll listen to this. So interestingly enough, different types of grass grows with each other. So the Gemara sees it as an allusion to promiscuity, to immorality, that a man who is born on a Tuesday, ultimately, again, literally will draw yiniko, will draw sustenance from other types as well, which is a reference ultimately, again, to engaging in immoral behavior. So if you're born on a Tuesday, be wealthy and promiscuous. Hayman de ba'arba b'shava, somebody's born on a Wednesday. Yegever chacham v'nahir. He will be wise and possess incredible clarity and illuminate. You know what it means, illuminate? My taima, mishum de itlu islu beim oros. So we'll say what happened on Wednesday. Sun and the moon, right? Remember again, Sunday is light and darkness. Wednesday, sun and the moon. So he's like the luminaries. Hayman de bechamisha b'shaba. Ultimately, if somebody is born on a Thursday, he'gever gomel chasadim. He will be a very kind and charitable individual. Gmilas chasadim. Mai taimo mishum de ivri bay dagim va'ofos. Because Thursday is a day that the fish and the birds were created. So what I see, the idea is that Rashi points out over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes special care of the fish and the birds to make sure that their food is readily available to them. So therefore, again, so too someone who is born on a Thursday will be a very kind and charitable person. Hayman d'bimali shabsa, if someone is born on a Friday, ye gever chazron, will be someone about to say who runs after things. Amr av nachar b'yitzchak, chazron b'mitzvahs. He'll be someone who constantly runs after mitzvahs. Because we'll say, what happens on Erev Shabbos? Everybody's running around to prepare for Shabbos. So because so that's symbolic, he'll be running around for mitzvahs. Hayman de b'shabsa, if somebody is born on Shabbos, yehi b'shabsa, so the Gemara says, hayman de b'shabsa yehi b'shabsa yamos. If somebody is born on Shabbos, he will die on Shabbos. Al de achilu alohi yoma rabba de shabsa. We'll say, so apparently, again, the Gemara seems to see it as something negative, since they had to violate Shabbos for his birth. So therefore, that's not a good thing. Therefore, he'll end up dying on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Rava bar Rav Shila, no, the Kaddisha Rabbi Yiskari, person who's born on Shabbos, will be a very holy individual. Very holy individual. So we'll say, so what's happening over here? So Rabbi Yeshua Levi is understanding over here that the day in which you are born really foreshadows the type of person you are going to be. That your nature is very much embedded in the day that you're born. Amar Luhu, Rabbi Chanina, Poku, go out, Amru Le Labar Levi, and go say to Rabbi Yeshua Levi, Lo Mazel Yom Goreim, Ela Mazel Shah Goreim. So we'll say, Rabbi Chanina, interestingly enough, he doesn't disagree with the principle. The principle is that when you are born, has an incredible impact on the person you will become. That whereas Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi understands that it's the mazel of the day, ultimately, again, Rabbi Chanina says it's the mazel of the hour. See, Rabbi will say every hour of the day, there's a different one of the planets or a different one of the luminaries that is more dominant in that hour. Watch this. The Gemara says, Hayman de Bechama, somebody who is born when the sun is strongest, Ye Gavar Zivsin, so we'll say ultimately will be a person. Gavar Zivsin, Rashi says over here, first of all, just take a look at Rashi. Mazal Shah, Zayin Mazalo, saying there are seven Mazalos, Hamisham Shnes HaShos, that have different impacts on different hours. Chama Hainu Chama Mamish, Vuecha Min HaMazalos, Chin Levana, Zivson, Kisham HaShem. So if somebody is born during the hour when the sun is strongest, then ultimately again he'll have a beautiful countenance like the sun. He said, listen to this. Say, Gavar Zivson, Ye Achel Midilei, he will eat of his own. Vishasi Midilei, he'll be a self-sufficient individual. Just like the sun is a self-sufficient luminary, he will be self-sufficient. Virazoi Galyon. He'll say, there's only one thing. All of his secrets will be revealed. Just like the sun is a very public and apparent luminary, so too, if this person has any secrets, his secrets will be revealed. Furthermore, Vim Ganav Lo Mitzlach. If this individual tries to be a Ganav, it won't work out. Why Rabbi say? Because being a successful, right? Everyone knows. What do you need to be a successful ganav? The most important thing? Secrecy. Right? So apparently if you're born under the mazel of the sun, which is a very public and apparent, so the good news is you'll be successful. The good news is you have a beautiful countenance. You'll eat of your own. You'll drink of your own. But if you try to be a ganav, it's not going to work out well. Haiman dibikochav noga. If somebody is born when Venus is strongest, he'll be wealthy and promiscuous. My time, mishum dis yalad beinura. Because we'll say, apparently, again, Venus has a very strong heat. Rashi says, so ish talui ba'osam mazel. So there's a fire that burns in Venus. So that fire ultimately, again, represents a drive to accomplish wealth, right, a desire for wealth, which could be very powerful if channeled in the right way, but also sometimes translates into a desire, an unquenchable desire for immorality as well. Hayman debekochav. Somebody is born during Mercury. Yehe gavir nohir v'chacham. He will be someone who has a beautiful countenance. Nohir means he'll have like a luminescent countenance, but also have clarity of thought. V'chachim, and will be wise. Mishum de safra de chamahu, because Mercury is considered to be the secretary, right? The shamis of the sun. Haiman de bilavana, if somebody is born when the moon is strongest, he gover savil marin. He will be a person who suffers a lot. So as I, again, remember that this is symbolized in the moon, because the moon, remember, the moon waxes and wanes. So therefore, the waxing and the waning of the moon represents someone who's going to suffer setbacks in life. Savil marin. Banoi v'sasir sasra banoi. Things that he built will be destroyed, and then he'll rebuild and it'll be destroyed. Ava achil, excuse me, achil dolo delay, v'shasil dolo delay. He will not be able to support himself. He will not be able to drink of his own, eat of his own, because we'll say, remember again, just like the moon derives its light from the sun, so too, again, this individual is born by the mazel of the moon, ultimately will not be self-sufficient. V'razoi kasyon, the good news is that his secrets will be hidden. Just like at time the moon is obscured, so too this individual's secrets will be hidden. Im ganav matzloch, and if he tries to be a ganav, he'll actually be successful in his gneva. Okay? Haiman dibishab soy. If someone is born under the mazel of Saturn, yehe gever machshavte betelin. Ultimately, again, so we'll say, literally what it sounds like is, all of his plans will be negated. Will be negated. Now we'll see what it really means. Is the amri called the mechashvin alei betelin? What it means? No. Is that anyone who thinks to do evil to this person, their plans ultimately again will be bottle. Haiman de betzadek, somebody who is born under the mazel of Jupiter, yehe gever tzadkon, ultimately will be a very righteous individual. Amar Nachum Rabbi Yitzchak, v'tzadkon b'mitzvus, means he'll be righteous with mitzvus. Haiman de bemadim, somebody who was born under the mazel of Mars, yehegaver ashidama, will be someone who will spill blood. Amar Rav Ashi says, now how you spill that blood is up to you. Iumna iganva, you could be a bloodletter, you could be a thief. You could be a butcher, you could be a moel. So Amarabba Anna Bemadim Havi. So Rabba says, one second, I was born under the constellation of Mars, and I've never shed any blood. Amar Abaye, that's not true. Mar Nami Amish Vikatil. Abaye says, Rabba, you have condemned people, right? You have caused people to be punished. You've condemned people again in the context of a Beis Din. But Lamais, again, you've been responsible for the death of people as well. Again, sanctioned death, right? Mutter death, but death nevertheless. Itmar. So what you begin to see over here, I just want to point out, so Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi are both subscribing to the same basic concept, which is that the mazel under which you are born has a direct impact on the person you will become. Their machlokes is it the mazel of the day, or is it the mazel of the Shah? Right? Is it the mazel, right? Is it rooted in the Genesis narrative, the creation narrative, or does it depend on the constellations? But the Maaseh, they both agree that a person's mazel directly impacts who they are. We'll say, watch this. Rabbi Chanina Omer mazel machke mazel mashir yesh mazel Yisrael. We'll say, therefore, Rabbi Chanina says, based on these positions of Rabbi Chanina, or was it Rabbi Chanina? Because of Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. No. Was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and who was it? Okay. Rabbi Chanina, right? Good. So Rabbi Shura and Rabbi Chanina both hold that Yesh Mazal Yisrael. So Rabbi Chanina, who's saying it over here, I can't remember who it was. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Levi, we'll say based on the shittas we just discussed, Rabbi Chanina says that Halacha Lamaisa Yesh Mazal Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Ein Mazal Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan says there is no Mazal. No. We are not impacted by the mazalos. It doesn't matter what day you were born on. It doesn't matter what hour, what mazal shah you are born on. Ein mazal Yisrael. We'll say, Ein mazal Yisrael. You know, people sometimes say, Ein mazal Yisrael. There's no mazal. That's not what it means. We have plenty of mazal. We'll say, we have ridiculous amount of mazal. What it means is that our destiny as individuals and as a nation is not dictated by the mazalos. It doesn't matter what day you're born on. It doesn't matter under which planet you're born on. In mazal Yisrael. So we'll say this is a fundamental machlokes. So the Gemara says, "Va'oz Rabbi Yochanan l'tamei." Rabbi Yochanan goes according to his opinion. Why? Don't Rabbi Yochanan minayin shein mazal Yisrael? From where do we know, Abosai, that the destiny of a Yisrael, of a Jew, is not dependent on what day he was born or under what mazal he was born? Shneamar. Koamar Hashem, al derech hagoyim al tilmudu, me'ozos hashamayim al techosu, ki yechosu hagoyim mehema. So the pasuk is quite explicit. Kadosh Baruch Hu says in Yirmiyahu, or Yirmiyahu says to us, Kadosh Baruch Hu has told us, do not go ahead and learn from the ways of the Gentile nations, and from the signs of the heavens do not tremble. For although the Gentile nations tremble from them, you need not tremble. In other words, both say, Mars, Jupiter, Mercury, Venus, Sun, Moon, it doesn't have an impact on me. It might have an impact on the nations of the world, but has no impact on me. In Mazal the Yisrael, who I become, what I want to do in life, the identity I create and the life I lead is fundamentally and totally up to me. So the Gemara says, Vaf Rav Savra in Mazal Yisrael. Even Rav agrees that Allah Kalamaisa, there is no mazal for the Jew, for the Jews. Dam Rav Yehuda, Amrav Minayin Shein Mazal Yisrael. How do I know that ultimately again? So again, remember, when we say that phrase, Ein Mazal Yisrael, what that means is our destiny is not impacted by the stars, by the moons, by the mazalos, by the days of creation, right? That we have the ability to forge our own destiny, to forge our own path, to plot our own way forward. So where do we know this from? Shneamar vayotzi asachutza by Avram Avinu. So the pasuk says that Hashem took Avram Avinu outside, and he tells him, by the way, when he's outside, that what? He says, vayomer beit nashamayma. Go out, right, look at the heavens, count the stars, just like you can't count them, you won't be able to count your offspring. So watch this. Amar Avram Lefei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shalom Bemeisi Yoresh Osi. So Avram Avinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shalom, I don't understand. I have no offspring, I have no children. Eliezer is going to inherit me. Amar Lo Lav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, that's not the case. Kiyem Asher Yetzem Emeecha. It's not true, you're going to have a son. Your son is going to inherit you. Amar the father Ribono Shalom Nistakalti. Avram says, I looked in my constellations, I looked in the stars, and I saw that based on the stars, I am not destined to have a child. Walk out, remove yourself from your horoscope, from your constellations, from the stars. She'en mazel l'Yisrael. Because ultimately, again, there is no mazal for Yisrael. So in other words, we are not a fated people, fated with a T, right? We do not have a fate, right? Our destiny is not written in the stars. Ultimately, again, say mitztagnino shecha, ma'adech Avram. I know what you're thinking. I'm a base. What are you thinking? The kai tzedek b'marot. Because it was apparently Avram Avinu was born under the mazal of Jupiter. The kai tzedek b'marot. So ultimately, again, because Jupiter was in the west. So we'll say, so apparently Rashi points out over here, the west is considered to be cold. So the fact that Avram's mazal Jupiter was in the west, that coolness represented an inability to procreate. So Hashem Baruch says, don't worry, mukmina lebe mizrach. I'm going to take Jupiter and I'm going to put it in the east, whatever this means. V'hainu d'chsev. So we'll say so again. So therefore, you see from this conversation in Mazal Yisrael that Avram Avinu saw in his stars, in his horoscope, in Jupiter, he was not going to have children. Hashem Baruch Hu says those words are so profound. Say mitztagninu shacha. Leave your stars. Leave your stars, leave your mazel, leave your horoscope. You are not bound by that. The Jew has a power to transcend the day that he was born on and the mazel under which he came into this world. Listen to this incredible story. Incredible story. The Shmuel of Avlate, Habu Yassir. So we'll say Shmuel and Avlate. Now we'll say Rashi points out Avlate was a Gentile Chacham, Chacham Dachri, the Choza Bikochavim. So we'll say he was a master at, I don't know what the right word is. I guess it's astrology. Is that the right, you know, so we'll say, so you know, like today, you know, when you look at horoscopes, so obviously, you know, we'll say that's nothing. But there really used to be a real understanding of how to understand the mazalos, right? This was a real discipline. So this guy Avlit was known as a Gentile wise man who understood the stars. He was able to read the constellations, and he was able to really foretell what was going to happen to a person based on what he saw in their mazal. So we'll say, watch this story. So Shmuel and Avlit are sitting together. Vavu Kaazli, Hanach in Shila Akma. They saw a bunch of workers going to the marsh to cut down reeds, to do work. Amalei Avlit l'Shmuel. So Avlit said to Shmuel, by the way, Hai Gavra Oziv lo Asi. See that guy over there? And Avlit pointed to a specific man, and he said to Shmuel, that guy is going to go to work, but he's going to die. He's not coming back. So what happened? V'lo Asi. Tarik, said the Gemara, Tarik Le Chiv Yevimes. And Avlit said, I can tell you what's going to happen. He's going to get bitten by a snake, and he's going to die in the marsh. In the swamp. Amar Shmuel, so Shmuel says, Ibar Yisrael hu ezel v'asi. Shmuel said to Avlit, not true. You're going to see if he's a Jew. If he's a Jew, he's going to come back, he's going to be okay. So we'll say, so what happened? Listen to this story. So the Amar says, Adi Yosef, azel v'asi. So we'll say, what happened? So sure enough, so Shmuel and Avlit wait there, and the workers come back. And this guy, who Avlit said was going to die, comes back as well. So Avlit runs over to the guy. Come Avlit, shadji the tunye ashkach bechivye depasek v'shadi betarti govi. So I say Avlit ran over to the guy because Avlit couldn't believe it because he saw in the stars that the guy was supposed to die. He goes over. He removes the pack of reeds from the back of from the guy's back. He opens it up and he finds a poisonous snake that was cut in two. So there was a poisonous snake in the guy's bundle of reeds, but it was cut in two. Amrli Shmuel ma'avarta. So Shmuel says to the guy, tell me, and obviously it turns out the guy was a Jew, as we're going to see, what did you do today? Tell me, obviously there was a poisonous snake inside of his bundle of reeds, which means the snake was poised there to bite him and kill him, but it was miraculously cut in two. So Shmuel says to the guy, what did you do today? We'll say, listen to this story. Amarle, so the guy says, I'm going to tell you the truth. Kol yoma, hava miraminan rifta bahadi adadi vachdinan. So we'll say, so the guy said to Shmuel, you know, every day we the workers, what we do is we pool our bread. Everybody throws their bread into the basket, and we all share, we collectively share. So we throw in our loaves, and then we split it up equally amongst ourselves. Vachlinan, ha'idna, today, havi ikra chadminan, dolo havi le rifta. Today, one of the workers came to work, and he didn't have bread. He didn't have bread that day. Hava kamichsif. And I saw this. So this is the guy talking to Shmuel. I saw, we'll call this guy Reuven. So Reuven says, I saw that Shimon didn't come with a loaf of bread to work today. And I knew that if when they collected the bread, Shimon would be embarrassed that he had nothing to put into the basket. Amina lohu. So I said to the chevra, Ana ka'imna va'armina. I said, you know what, today, Reuven said, today I'll collect the bread. I'll be the bread collector. Kimatoy legabe. When I came over to Shimon, who I know didn't have bread, Shavi nafshe kiman deshakli mine. I pretended like I took bread from Shimon. So there's another part to the story. So Reuven says, I pretended like I took bread from Shimon, and I put in an extra loaf from my own bread, so that Shimon should not go. Shimon should not be embarrassed. So Shmuel says to the guy, Amrle mitzvah avarta. It was that mitzvah. Nebo says, there's a double mitzvah over here. There's a mitzvah of tzedakah, because ultimately, again, Reuven gave bread to Shimon. But also remember, he saved him from humiliation. So Shmuel said to the guy, you did a mitzvah. Nothik Shmuel v'darash. As a result of this episode, Shmuel went out and he darshin. Utzedakah tatzil mimaves. That tzedakah, the pasuk in Mishlei, tzedakah saves a person from death. So sometimes we thought, so Shmuel thought before this episode, what does it mean, tzedakah tatzil mimaves? That tzedakah could save one from gruesome death, right? That tzedakah saves you from death, unnatural death. Ella mimisa atzma. Shmuel said, based on this episode, I see that mamish tzedakah tatzil mimaves is a literal statement that tzedakah is so powerful that it has the ability to save one from death. This guy was saved ultimately again from death because of the mitzvah of tzedakah. Rabosai, now again, we don't know him to be some type of grace that tzaddik. He's not sitting in kol learning his whole life. He's a reed cutter in the swamps. But Lamai said, that day, he decided to do something beautiful for someone else. Rabosai, isn't this incredible? We know nothing about the rest of his life. He could have been an ordinary guy, or maybe he was a bad guy. We don't even know. What we do know is that on one day he decided to do something beautiful for someone else. And it was in that merit that he was saved from death. You see, I will say, sometimes we never know the impact of just the smallest of acts we do day in and day out. This guy got up, he went to work, it was a regular day. He had no idea that there was a poisonous snake in his bundle of reeds. So we'll see, you never know in life what is going to be the mitzvah, what is going to be the maisa tov that saves you. What is going to be the thing that makes a difference between life and death? And sometimes it's not even something so heroic. Sometimes it's something so dramatic. Sometimes it's just looking out for someone else. It's being a little more charitable, being a little bit more kind, being careful with someone else's feelings. That could sometimes literally be the difference between life and death. Such an incredible yisod. Let's say I plan on something else. The Maharsha says, you know, if Avlate says to Shmuel, by the way, that guy's going to die when he goes out. So the Maharsha says, so why doesn't Shmuel run over to him and say, don't go to work today. Call in sick. You're about to die. Why? Don't go. Let's say, so Maharsha said, you see something amazing. He said, you know, we spoke about this last week, that sometimes in life, if you just have to do what you have to do, even though there might be inherent dangers involved in whatever it is that you're doing. And I will say that Lemaisa, if you begin to analyze what could go wrong on any given day, in any given thing, then what? What's the result? What is going to be the result? Yoshevu batel, right? As you spoke about last week, the analysis process. We'll say this is very like inyone diyoma, because we see this machlokes playing out even in terms of how you handle a pandemic. Right? So if a person says, well, the only thing to do is nothing, shut down. Okay, you're right. If you take anything to the logical extreme, the answer always is yoshevu batel, do nothing. But doing nothing also has dramatic ramifications and implications, right? You could shut down everything until vaccine or whatever else. I would say, but that doesn't make sense either, because that's analysis paralysis. Shut down everything. Okay, it makes sense on one hand. What about all the negative repercussions? So it's incredible. So Shmuel said, you know what? Avlate, I hear what you're saying. But if you're going to shut down everything because someone has a bad horoscope, what's going to happen? The world shuts down. The world shuts down. So sometimes in life, you just have to deal with the risks and find a way to move forward. You have to find a way to be productive. You have to find a way to live life with all of the risks involved. An incredible, incredible yisod. Because I will say, two major yisodos ultimately, again, from one story. Number one, I will say, you have to be aware of the risks in life, but you can't allow the risks to paralyze you. You must find a way to be normal. You must find a way to be productive. You must find a way to open up and move forward. That's number one. Lesson number two, I will say, is you never know the impact of the smallest of deeds. Sometimes the smallest acts of kindness that we do day in and day out can be managed the very things that save our lives. What's another story? Get ready for this. Umid Rabbi Akiva, Nami in Mazal Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva also agrees that there's no mazal for Yisrael. Rabbi says that again, we're not bound by our mazal. Which means what? Rabbi says, this is the famous story, the famous Maisa. Rabbi Akiva havile barta. Rabbi Akiva had a daughter. Amra le kaldoi hahu yoma da aili lebeginana tarik le chivye umisa. So listen to this. Rabbi Akiva had a daughter, right? And he was told by the astrologers that on the day of your daughter's wedding, she is going to die. She's going to be bitten by a snake, and she's going to die. Now Rabbi Akiva never shared this with anyone. Hava diiga amilsa tuva. He was very worried about this. Hahu yoma. Supposed to listen to this. It was Rabbi Akiva's daughter's wedding day. So we'll say, again, what do you see? You know, let's think about this. The astrologer told Rabbi Akiva that his daughter is going to die on her wedding day. On her wedding day. So we'll see, you would see now, Rabbi Akiva believed it. Of course, he believed it. How do we know he believed it? Because he worried about it tremendously. So we'll say, so you would have thought that again, well then maybe she shouldn't get married. No, you can't do that. Meaning, but there's an incredible yisod. There are risks involved in everything in life. And again, this is mamish in yoni diyoma. But the answer can't be stop life as a whole. The answer can't be that, because Rabbi said that has so many other terrible ramifications. So Rabbi Akiva has a nevuah, essentially. He has an astrology. Your daughter is going to die on her wedding day. So now what's the choice? She doesn't get married, or she gets married, and we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it'll work out well. He chooses the latter. He chooses that. So it's her wedding day. It's such a musr. It's her wedding day. So what happened? Hahu yoma shaklasa lemikavanta datsasa beguda. So she was getting ready. She had a brooch. She had a brooch. I will say, this is really like what, if you could imagine, I think it's easier to imagine like a hairpin. You know, like an ornamental thing you would put in your hair, but it has like a sharp needle. It's like a sharp edge. So what is she was getting ready for a chasana. So she put the brooch into the wall. She just like plunged it into the wall just to keep it there. Okay. Isrami Esev Bein Dechive. What was behind the wall, Rabbi Osei? A poisonous snake. She ended up putting the brooch right into the eye of the poisonous snake. Okay. Let's safra. The next morning, as she's getting, what happened? Kika Shaklala, when Rabbi Osei, now it sounds like that morning was the morning after the wedding. So the wedding was that day, because she didn't need the brooch that day. Right? So she put it into the wall. The next morning, she takes out the brooch. When she takes it out, Hava Kasara Va'asichi Yobasra. Rabbi Osei, can you imagine this? As she pulls the brooch out of the wall, what comes along with it? A dead, venomous snake. So what happened? Amar La'avua, Ma'avarata. So also Rabbi Akiva sees this. He says to Zora, tell me, what happened? What happened at the chasana? Tell me what happened to you yesterday. We'll say, listen to this story. Amra, she said to her father, Bifanya, Asa Anya Kari Abava. You know, yesterday afternoon, when I guess it was either the beginning of the chasana, everybody's getting ready for the chasana, Asa Anya Kari Abava. A poor person came to the entrance of the wedding hall. Vavachuti Kuli Amma Besudasa, Valeka Dishmiya. Everyone was busy with the wedding. And no one heard the ani asking for food. Listen to this. Ke'imna shakalti l'ristanoi di'ahavisli yahavis nihile. Well, so listen to this. So the kala said, I took my food and I gave it to the pauper. I took my food and I gave it to the pauper. I said, do you hear this story? So the story is incredible on two levels. The story is incredible that so often in life, we get caught up in our own stuff and we don't hear the ani at the door. We get so caught up in our own lives that we don't see the needs that exist around us. We become just blinded. We get so wrapped up in our own stuff that I don't see the situation here. I don't hear the ani knocking on the door. And I will say, what a kala. What a kala. Mika amcha Yisrael. Can you imagine the scene that the kala takes? You imagine that the plate is all beautifully set in front of her and the kala takes her food and she gives it to the ani. This was Rabbi Akiva's daughter. She gives it to the ani. Amar lo mitzvah avarta. So Rabbi Akiva says to his daughter, you performed such an incredible mitzvah. So I will say, so literally again, Rabbi Akiva understood that his daughter was saved from death because she decided to give her chicken, right? She decided to give her plate of food to the ani at the door. Nafik Rabbi Akiva v'darish utztaka tatzil mimaves v'lo mimisa mishuna. Ela mimisa atzma. And I will say Rabbi Akiva understood when it says tzaka tatzil mimaves, it's not just from like some cruel and unusual death, but tzaka tatzil mimaves, ultimately again, even from regular death. That's the power of tzedakah. The power of being a charitable, kind individual is the ability literally to go ahead and save oneself from death. But listen to this incredible story as well. Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak also agreed in mazal Yisrael. How so? I will say, listen to this. Amr lo kaldai, because the Gemara says as follows. The imei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, because Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak was born, so a kaldai. So I will say, kaldai is a Chaldean, right? Again, these were sorcerers, not sorcerers, astrologers. So they saw, but they said, kaldai, barich ginavahava. So barich ginavahava. Your son is going to be a thief. That's what they told her. We saw in his stars, that little Nachman, right? Little Nachman is going to be a thief. Right? Zakaton Gadol Yiya. Right now he's a little thief. He's going to grow up to be a big thief. So what happens? What did his mother do? Lahava Shavkase Gilei Reshe. So his mother, right, did not want her son to be a thief. So what did she do? She was makbid that he should always keep his head covered. She always wear a yarmulke. Why? Amrole, kase reshech, keep your head covered. Ki hechi detehavo alach en yisra deshmaya. Because what she felt that if he always keeps his head covered, then what? The fear of heaven will be upon him. The head covering symbolizing the idea that there is someone above you. And if you remember that someone is above you, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, you will not steal. Ubay rachmi, v'ubay rachmi. Ultimately, again, and she davened for him. So we'll say two things. It's an incredible yisod in chinuch. How are you properly mechanich your child? So we'll say, so take positive physical actions, physical steps. Structure a home life that is conducive to Kedusha. Structure a life for your child that is personal for Kedusha. And daven. And daven. Just daven a lot. So she made sure that his head was always covered, that he should have a respect for authority, a respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, had not come to steal. And she davened for him. So the Gemara says, Lo hami yada maika amrele. So let's listen to this. So little Nachman grows up, and he has no idea, why is my mother always hacking me a chaynik about going and keeping my yarmulke on? Right? All of my friends run around without yarmulkes. They're on the basketball court, right? And the yarmulke falls off. They put it in their pocket. And my mother's always yelling from the stands, put your yarmulke back on, put your yarmulke back on. And when I go to sleep, I put on my yarmulke. Why is she always bothering me about yarmulke? She never understood it. Until one day, Yom Achad Yosef Kagaris. So I'll say one day, Yosef Kagaris Tusei Diklo. One day he was learning underneath a palm tree. Nafo glima me'ilu yereshe. His cloak fell off the top of his head. His head became uncovered. Dale ene, he looked up. Chazi ledikla al me'yitzre salak paske lekibur b'shine. He looked up, he saw a cluster of dates on the top of the tree. He scaled the tree and bit off a cluster of dates with his teeth. So strong. Was the desire for theft inside Anachar by Yitzchak, that literally, again, one time his head becomes uncovered, and Imamish scales the tree, bites off a cluster with his teeth. And in that moment, he understood why his mother was so mad. So I will say, number one, that we paskin in Mazal Yisrael. I will say, we actually paskin that both are true. Yesh Mazal Yisrael, but in Mazal Yisrael. I will say, how do you paskin like both? So I will say, means, Yesh Mazal Yisrael means, we are all born with predispositions and proclivities. We'll say that is the MS. That's how, you know, both say the statements of the Gemara are true. So it could be that someone who's born under Mars ultimately, again, is going to go ahead and be a shedder of blood. That might be true. Just like maybe someone who's born on a Monday is going to be a black and white individual. We are all, or a black or white individual. We are all born with predispositions. Innate proclivities. That's the way we're born. It's no question. So, yesh mazal Yisrael. But we also paskin in mazal Yisrael, which means what? You have the ability to overcome whatever you want. I was about to say, while it is true that I may be born with certain predispositions, so maybe it's true that if halacha lemaisa, I'm born underneath the mazal of this, maybe I'm going to be an angry person. That could be. But lemaisa, if I choose to overcome it, I have the ability to overcome it. So we pass in Yesh Mazel. Again, there's no question that we are born with predispositions and proclivities, but in Mazel Yisrael, a person can never say, this is who I am, and I can't change. You can choose not to change. You could choose to remain as you are, but there's no such thing as I can't change. You might have been born a certain way, but if you choose to overcome those innate predispositions, those innate midos, you absolutely have the ability to do so. Yesh mazal Yisrael, be'in mazal Yisrael. So, Rabbi, you even see something amazing over here. You see sometimes, like Zerah Nachar by Yitzchak, sometimes Rabbi say you can't even totally eradicate a midah. Like you see in this story, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak's desire for theft was only kept in check when his head was covered. The moment his head was uncovered, that Yitzchak came back. It's a very powerful idea. Sometimes things that we struggle with cannot be eradicated. Sometimes they remain as part of me. But sometimes it is just my avodah to keep it in check. You know what's a good mashal for this? So like addictions are like this, If you speak to someone who's in recovery, it's interesting. So when is an addict cured? When is an addict cured? And the answer is never. Right? He might be in recovery. He might be in recovery for 15 years. But Lamaisa, I will say, it's a very powerful use in life. It's not only by addictions. It's a lot of times by the Yetzirah as well. Each of us has the things that we struggle with. And there are certain things I will say that I am really never going to fully eradicate. I just have to properly manage it. I have a Yetzirah that burns inside of me. To get rid of it might not happen, but I have to manage it. I'm like the addict. I'm like the alcoholic. I'm never going to be cured of my alcoholism. I manage. I mean, I'm in recovery. So a lot of times I have to get into recovery for my Yetzirah as well. I can't get rid of this Yetzer. So that's what this story is. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak says his mother was makbid on the head covering. His mother would daven for him. She could not get rid of that predisposition for thievery. So therefore, again, all he could do, and then he discovered what it was, all he could do was properly manage. It's Rabosai, ain't mazal Yisrael, but yesh mazal Yisrael. We're born with predispositions, but you could overcome whatever you want. But sometimes you can't eradicate the negative traits or the challenges that exist inside of you. You just have to learn to manage them. Another lesson Rabosai is, you never know the power of the smallest of these. Rabbi Akiva's daughter's life was saved because of a simple gesture towards a pauper. The unnamed reed cutter was saved simply because of a beautiful gesture of tzedakah to a fellow co-worker. Sometimes it's the smallest things we do in life that have the greatest amount of impact. And I will say, lastly, you know that this Gemara by Rav Nachman by Yitzchak is very important, because this Gemara of Nachman by Yitzchak, I will say, is the source of the concept of a yarmulke. Right? The Shulchan Aruch brings this down, Arachayim Sif Beis, Simen Beis, Sif Zayin. Shulchan Aruch writes, Asr Leilech Bekoma Zekufa Velo Yelech Tal Amis Begiloi Harosh Mipnei Kavod Hashchina. So we'll say, this is the halacha. The halacha is we wear a yarmulke. You're not supposed to really walk, even the Mishnah Berurah says, even less than Dalar Amis. Where does that come from? Rabbi will say, this Gemara is the source for this concept. That is a minhag Yisrael, that is a halacha Yisrael to this day. The idea that we cover our heads in order to create a sense of imsa l'shamayim, a fear and reverence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to recognize that wherever we go, whatever we do, there is always a ribono shel olam above us. So we will pick up the last daf of Shabbos tomorrow. We'll pick up at the Mishnah. Shkoyach. All right, Rabbosai and Zoom. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Great to learn with all of you. Good morning. Shalom Aleichem.